Hi, I'm Antonia, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Micah, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Jane, I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Savannah, a student midwife.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I'm a midwifery support worker.
Hello, my name's Gulbano, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm a birth centre midwife.
I feel so good being amongst you here today because I know that you understand the importance of your world. You understand that the job that you're doing has to be one that's done with heart and soul. So just think of the important job that you have. And I want you to do it with what I call the philosophy of my three C's. The first C is C for consideration, to have empathy and understanding for other people. For all the mothers who come to you and it's their first child, don't just think, I've seen this again. Oh, here we go again. No, it's that first adventure. You're an adventure. You don't know what's going to happen. What's the result going to be? Just think the thrill of that. So have consideration. Put yourself in the place of others. And the more privileged you are, the more consideration you show. Because you are privileged. You're guardian angels. So use that well. The second C is C for contentment. To have a happy, contented heart. Not to be jealous, not to be envious, not to be consumed by consumerism, wanting more and more, wishing you had the promotion, doing anything you have to get where you want to go. No, just be cool. Because what's right for you will come. And the more open and satisfied you are with what given at that given time, the more happy you will feel and the more will come to you when you least expect it. That's a really hard thing to practice. Because human nature always makes you want more. No. Just be happy. Just be happy what you have then. And the third C is C for confidence. The confidence to look in the mirror every day of your life and like the person that's looking back at you. The confidence to be a decent human being. The confidence to know that every disappointment is an appointment with something better. The confidence to know everything happens for a reason, no matter how bad it is. The confidence to know the more you give and love unconditionally, the more comes back to you in abundance. You're going to need a fourth C to wrap up your three C's, and that's C for courage. To have the moral courage to stand up for truth. The moral courage to stand up for equality. The moral courage to speak up when things aren't right. The moral courage to press the reset button and do things the ethical way. The moral courage to act with morality, with integrity, and with honesty, and to be the person other people can trust.
Hi, I'm Jo Tanner, and that was the incredible, indefatigable Baroness Floella Benjamin opening the RCM Awards in London last week. And that's where this episode of the RCM podcast comes from, which I think technically makes this podcast award-winning, no? The RCM Awards is truly a joyous occasion, whether you're shortlisted, whether you're there with your team, or whether you're just after a cracking afternoon out. The awards truly highlight the best across every aspect of midwifery and maternity, and there's so much we can learn from and share with each other. Plus, it's a great opportunity to step out of your scrubs and into your sequins. And believe me, midwives and MSWs really know how to put on the style. Over this episode, you'll meet many of the award winners and hear from them about why they were recognised. So please, raise your proverbial glass to the RCM award winners. Something that came through over and over again from our winners was partnership. That sense that whatever they achieved, they hadn't done so alone. A fine example of this was Sue McAuliffe from St Mary's Hospital in Manchester.
I work across lots of different organisations and partnerships, midwives, families and women, to look at the gaps, find solutions and all come together really to try and make things better. I'm really lucky in my role because I can work quite strategically. So I work with early years, I work with health visiting, I work with community and voluntary sector organisations. So I built a network where I'm really well placed to to really listen and understand what everybody's roles are and see how we can all work together to sort of make things better.
Sue won the Excellence in Midwifery for Public Health Award, sponsored by Slimming World. She has done amazing work to support the women and families of Manchester who are really struggling during the cost of living crisis.
We're very mindful as midwives of the impact of the cost of living crisis, and we know that there are lots of families that are really struggling in Manchester. And for us to be able to ensure that all women who are entitled to support through the Healthy Start, for instance, can get access to that support is really, really important to us. But as ever, we can't do things completely by ourselves, so it's really important that we work with fantastic organisations like Manchester Central Food Bank, who've been amazing to work with and who have supported this project in an amazing way. They've literally funded a project lead for 2.5 days to work alongside me and really kind of get that access. You know, we've set up a service where women have got a free helpline number and one-to-one support, which we couldn't have done without Manchester Central Food Bank. So it's about building those relationships with those wider organisations where we all want the same thing and can all support the women and families together. We work really closely with the Bread and Butter Thing, who are like a mobile pantry organisation who they do incredible work. So we try and link in with that organisation and other food pantries and food clubs that kind of maximise income for these families. And really, you know, nutrition is the bedrock of all health, really, isn't it? So it's really important for us to make sure that families get access to healthy food.
Understanding the needs of the women and families in their care underpins the work of so many of the award winners. Here are Yasmeen Akhtar and Melissa Addy from Barnsley Hospital NHS Foundation Trust, who won the award for outstanding contribution to midwifery services for perinatal mental health.
I think we really personalise it, we listen to them, and everything that's in the media and COVID that's happened, we really hear the women and we support them and we put their voices from the support that we get from managers and lead consultants and stuff. We can put things forward and make it better for women.
Yeah, and I think not just women, it's staff as well, support for his own mental well-being as well as women's. We need to be healthy to be able to support women with their journeys as well.
We really listen to the women, don't we? We set up mums groups for them. We're the only one in Yorkshire that's got a mums group that's run by a midwife that support these women up to baby being 6 months, and that's really, really unique. And we do focus mental health on that, how to be a parent, how we can support you. But we've got swimming in that, we've got baby yoga in that, we've got baby massage in that, but we do take their mental health.
I think it's every woman's journey, it's their individual journey, so nobody can say that that's not how you feel or that's not how, you know, a situation's made. You know, it's what's individual to that woman, and I think it's using that to then empower that woman as well into how they then care for their babies or they then come back into another pregnancy journey. It's building that and empowering women and, you know, giving them the powers to, you know, to understand the mental health and that it's okay to sometimes not be okay, but that we help them with the tools to be able to sort of take that forward.
And empowering women was something our next winner was understandably proud of. Michaela Richardson is a senior support worker at Birmingham Women's Hospital, where staff see her as something of a breastfeeding whisperer.
Everybody seems to come to me from far and wide. Is Mickey in today? I absolutely love feeding support, especially breastfeeding support. To me, there's nothing better than walking into somebody that's in floods of tears at home, has come home from hospital, has had this little baby, this gorgeous little baby that's been up all night crying, absolutely at their wit's end, just doesn't know what to do with themselves now, and I've tried everything. Most of the time, they just need a little bit of reassurance. Come in, kneel down on the floor in front of them, help them position the baby, watch her feed and go, you're doing absolutely everything right. This is all really normal. To the point where spend an hour or so with them, maybe, if I'm lucky, to walk away and mum smiling and actually feels like she can continue this journey. You know, you just look and you think, yeah, I've got a good breastfeeding journey on the head there.
Michaela's passion for her job comes from her own experience. but perhaps not as you might think.
Breastfeeding was never in my family. It was never a thing to do. So, you know, bottle formula feeding. So with my daughter, it was kind of just natural to do that. And then Breast Is Best came out when I had my son. And, you know, there's posters everywhere. And you feel like, oh, I should be doing this. I'll give this a go. But when you ask for help, there was no help there. And I literally remember asking for help. And I wasn't in this kind of job at the time. New mum, you know, not knowing anything else. And they literally come along, literally, without even asking, grabbed my breast, grabbed my son's head and forced him on me. And I remember feeling a little bit violated. I remember feeling like, oh my goodness me, I can't do this. And of course, from that point, I can't go home and replicate that. So I kind of vowed, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll never be like that. And then I did volunteer in breastfeeding support up on the wards before I did this job. And I remember going through the training and I'm going, oh my goodness me, this is brilliant. And I feel like I was denied all of that. And I would have had such a better feeding journey and probably lasted longer if I'd have had that support. So I kind of vowed, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that I give all the possible support. I'm very hands off. I'm very hands off. Unless mum really, really, really wants me to help me, but get me to help her, then otherwise I'm very hands off. You just want to see them happy and know that they're doing the best they're possibly doing. You're doing absolutely everything fine. You're doing it all right. It just takes a lot of perseverance and you'll get there.
As we've explored in our earlier episode about wellbeing, the pressure on women can be huge. But as we've heard from Yasmin, Melissa and Michaela, taking the time to listen to women, to understand their concerns and to give them the right support at the right time can be invaluable, particularly in areas where there may be social stigma. Nowhere is this more true than pelvic health, where incontinence both during pregnancy and postpartum can have a huge impact on women's health and wellbeing.
Okay, so my name is Monica. I'm the prenatal pelvic health service manager. So I am the mummy of all the team.
I'm Paula. I'm the clinical physio lead for this project. And what makes this project so special is the midwifery and physiotherapy partnership in looking for women during pregnancy and the postpartum period with pelvic floor problems, something that it has never been done. So it's very unique and innovative. And we always talk about the dream team and how we're joining forces to work with women and birthing people.
Like so many of our winners, Monica and Paula were keen to point out that their work can be replicated across the country. You just need the right drive and, of course, the right people.
I think it starts with knowing who you work with, knowing the processes, the people that work with, the guidelines, having mates around. It's all about, I think, when we think about what we have achieved, it's the fact that we have known so many people across the three trials. So knowing your people, I think that will be, and obviously getting to know what is out there in terms of evidence as well, and knowing your patients. What the women want. I think one of the first works that Monica did, for example, was ask all the women what they wanted. So the foundations of this is what we have achieved on the basis of asking women what they wanted. We have based our project on, and I think that's a strength in itself.
Someone else who wants to see their work taken nationwide is the winner of the Excellence in Midwifery for Research, sponsored by Pregnacare, Sarah Jane Ambler of Medway Foundation Trust.
The whole country could do what we're doing quite easily. They're not expensive. And that's my drive for this. I just can't leave it now.
What Sarah Jane's talking about is her work to make maternity services more accessible to those with a learning disability. When she first set out on the project, she thought that provision in her trust met people's needs. But it turns out she was in for a surprise.
The sponsor of the study was ever so patient. She let us go on that journey. So she came to us and was like, we do all right. We look after people with learning disabilities. Yeah, we do. And I really believe we did. And then as it transpired, I come back and said, Anna, you're right. She knew she was right all along. But we found some really easy things we could do. But what we learned from that study is putting that study into practice was how many things could be improved within our trust when it comes to people with learning disabilities. And improving their outcomes and their care. We found so many barriers that were actually present in ourselves as well, such as an understanding of learning disabilities.
Like most challenges, this one is much easier to manage when it's broken down, which is exactly what Sarah Jane has done.
first of all, is identifying people with learning disabilities. That's what we're pretty poor at. We're not confident in asking people the right questions. We think we are. We also don't have a good understanding of the difference between learning disability and a learning difficulty. That took me a while to get my head around. Also, I didn't think it mattered. Does it really matter as long as we give the woman the care that she needs? Actually, it really matters. Our digital system didn't have a learning difficulties category. So for anyone who had learning difficulties, the midwives would perhaps tick the learning disabilities, or they would have nothing to tick. So you can see the midwives were just trying to get people extra support, but put them under the completely wrong area, which then diluted those who did have learning disabilities because they weren't properly identified. So soon, midwives will be able to tick the correct boxes. We've got a learning difficulties box as well, learning disabilities box, and then that will trigger a cascade of other questions that give them the right information that they can then refer to the right people. So we made a film, a short film, which my colleagues feature in. So the learning disability nurse and our mental health midwife also features in that, and I'm a little bit at the end. But we all contributed to that, and that's now available nationally, funded by Health Education England. So throughout this video, it's parents she's interviewing, and they're telling us what they want out of their care. It's just really powerful. So I've got us a slot in mandatory training, even though it is very precious, but I've now got to make that impactful.
I don't think anyone doubts that Sarah Jane will achieve that impact she's after. She is an absolute ball of energy, which is another trait that so many of our winners share. Tenacity, drive, and maybe a pinch of not being prepared to take no for an answer. That was certainly the sense I got from Jacqueline Dorian and Suzanne Sinnott, part of the Forget Me Not bereavement team from the South Eastern Trust in Northern Ireland.
It started when our Forget Me Not group and ourselves wanted to have a remembrance garden within the hospital grounds, and we couldn't find a site.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We had just come back from a dander around the hospital, mm-hmm. and says, we've been looking for a site, couldn't find anywhere. And yeah. She says, my friend's contact with the council, the Lisburn and Castlereagh tree planting project. And we thought, oh, we'd be interested in that.
Yeah, so it's a big tree project. Yeah.
So uh-huh. We spoke to Jill and met up with the council worker and showed me two different sites.
Yes.
Fell in love with Billy Neal MBE Country Park. Beautiful site.
It's like elevated, yeah, and it overlooks a lake.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's closer tranquil to the sky, yeah. And it was just perfect.
Yeah.
And the sun was shining that day.
Yeah. Took the photograph, sent it to everybody, went, found our site.
And with that site, the Forget Me Not team has done something really quite extraordinary.
We'd initially planted 32 trees, £150 for one tree. The trees are native to Northern Ireland that you have to buy, and they all have specific meanings. So the parents were picking the tree and really took what the meaning of the tree meant. And we planted 32 trees.
32 trees on the day.
Because the parents,
a lot of logistics around trying to get everything running, because Jacqueline and I work opposite shifts, and our remit is from conception right up to 18-year-olds. So this was on additional to our normal role. But we're so passionate about it that it didn't make it a chore. We were delighted to be a part of it. And we had all the logistics down for the day, and the families all came at certain times with all the family, and they were involved in actually planting their tree. And they put certain little bulbs around their tree and different plants. And we had tea and coffee facilities so everybody could like mingle together, and it was like a nice supportive network for our bereaved families, because we're trying to really incorporate the whole family unit. So it was a really, really nice day.
And the site is also particularly poignant for staff too.
And Hazel McAllister, one of our mates, worked with Hazel, looked after me when I first came to Ulster Hospital many, many years ago. And Hazel sadly died last year, and there's a tree just planted up in the hill. And
so she's actually overlooking all the other baby trees.
It's as if just putting her arms around them, where she's planted, her tree's planted just at the edge, but it's just overlooking them all, and it's beautiful.
It's not a sad place, it's an uplifting place. And I think just the site, and it incorporates the whole family, like their little siblings that come along, they can run around, roll down the hill, you know. Yeah. It's joyful.
Yeah.
And it brings them, I think, strength and hope, and see the tree grow that represents their child. So it's really nice.
And it's the last and living legacy.
It is, yeah.
So it is.
The way in which the Forget Me Not team ensured that one of their own work family was remembered too is a true reflection of the closeness that exists in maternity services up and down the country. And championing that family is an army of RCM workplace reps who work their absolute socks off to ensure that members are supported and valued. One of those champions, and in fact the winner of the Workplace Champion Award sponsored by Thompson Solicitors, is Kate Griffiths from Basildon Hospital. Her work on Entonox hasn't only helped those in her own trust, but has implications across the country.
There's been issues with increased levels of Entonox in maternity units, and in the hospital I work in, this was a problem, and it's been an ongoing piece of work supporting staff and ensuring safety for everyone, really. Basildon had this ongoing issue that had taken a while to come to light, and this has encouraged other units to test, and that is where it's started to sort of snowball, and it's become evident that more and more places are not able to demonstrate that their environments are safe for staff to work in. So this has really put the pressure on them to test, to make sure that they're able to demonstrate what's going on in their maternity units for their staff, and ultimately to fix the problem when they find it, to make sure that the staff who are already working under incredibly challenging situation, we're struggling with staff shortages, increasing pressures, and the least they deserve is to be working in a safe environment. And this has been, it's been a real privilege to be part of something that's going to make a difference to people, and hopefully the momentum carries forward and we can make a difference.
Kate's only been a workplace rep for a relatively short time, but she is passionate about supporting her colleagues and by extension the women in their care.
I came back off maternity leave, looked around and realised there was a lot of work to be done, with morale already really low, with the already pre-existing pressures. It just seemed like this was the time that people needed representation more than they ever have. So I thought if nobody else is doing it, then someone had to. So I volunteered, was elected, and did my training. And it's really invigorated my enthusiasm for my job, because as a midwife, your job is to be an advocate for the people that you care for. And you can't do that if you don't have the support around you. So being able to advocate for other midwives means that I'm still helping women and families, babies, anyone birthing their babies, because the midwives need to be looked after in order to do a good job. So making sure that they're treated fairly, that they have a voice, is just such a huge privilege. And to be trusted by your colleagues, it means an awful lot. So I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been challenging. It's been hard work, obviously, over the last year. There's been a lot going on, but it's been really amazing. The staff have valued the work I've done and have been really, really appreciative. And I say I really appreciate them having that trust in me.
Another champion of both their colleagues and the women and families they care for is Emma Leslie, winner of the Race Matters Unsung Hero Award for MSWs and students, sponsored by BAME, Birthing with Colour Online Academy. I asked her how she does it.
Energy, high spirits, positive vibrations. Nothing's a loss, it's always a win. You always live and learn. And sometimes change can make your job easier, because you go home feeling that natural reward from the good that you do. I mean, within midwifery, it's like that anyway, but it's just adding on and adding on every day. So I would say, maybe within our community, I've been a catalyst for change.
Like Sue McAuliffe, who we heard from earlier, Emma works with women and families to ensure they're getting what they need.
Whatever we've come to, we've got through, learnt from, and made sure that we can help even more going forward, so we can offer a lot more to women postnatally. Very rarely that if a woman has nothing, that they leave us with nothing. They leave with a lot more, with a plan to go forward in life, and to be able to ensure that their baby sleeps safe and that they have the equipment they need to nurture their baby. It's very much a team effort, and we don't just nurture the women and families that come on our path. We nurture each other, we live, we learn. And yes, fun job, very rewarding. I'm happy to go to work every day, and I think we just embrace our work family.
And of course, the work family often extends beyond the confines of the maternity team. Sarah Morris, Sarah Hooks, and Jane Story are the winners of the Excellence in Midwifery for Education and Learning, sponsored by the Nursing and Midwifery Council. Here's Sarah Morris to explain more.
We implemented Prompt Wales in 2019, and during our journey, we found a gap within community services for standardised training for community midwives and pre-hospital services. And we wanted to bridge that gap, and that's where Community Prompt Wales was born, really, and how we developed it, and with the support of all our teams across Wales, really, really a big appetite for it. Community midwives wanted that support. And yeah, we rolled with it, and it made the community training standardized, you know, and it was to support them with the confidence of managing emergency, obstetric emergencies in the community. So they could, so women could birth in any setting. And also a big achievement for us as well was the collaboration with the paramedic teams and Wet Ambulance Service, you know, and they really wanted it as well to be involved. So just to see that relationship build between a community midwife and a paramedic was just in awe for us. Our everyday training with those teams is actually our golden ticket, I would say.
Training together and recognising each other's skills has made a real difference to those working relationships, as Sarah and Jane explain.
For me, it's recognising, for us as a team, it was recognising their skills mm-hmm. that they have, that they can bring to an obstetric emergency, as well as them understanding and realising what a community midwife's skills, and, you know, empowering both roles to work alongside each other. So that was for us, wasn't it, that empowerment definitely. And understanding each other's skills.
I think they very often, the paramedics often are really relieved to see the community midwife, and equally the community midwife is really relieved when the paramedic arrives. Mm. So there's a real appreciation of each other's roles, I think, and Community Prompt Wales is really focused on that.
Working together, whether that's across professions or across trust or board boundaries, makes a difference to women too. One project that's done both is the winner of the Outstanding Contribution to Midwifery Services Digital Award. The Healthier Together project links a digital app direct to a dedicated triage service, and the results for both women and maternity staff have been incredible. That was the idea of Holly Green, Kim Allen and Layla Toomer. Here are Kim and Holly to explain how it all started.
We were given the bare bones of an idea, really, and it was us three that came up with the idea of joining the app and the maternity triage line service together. And that's what changed it, really, wasn't it? And that's what's improved it for women, because the two services have come together, and it's made a service, a much needed service for the women to use, and they are using it.
We recognise that there's often confusion with where women accessed the midwives, their primary care, any healthcare professional. There was confusion, there was time delays in answering the phone calls, and there were inconsistent advice being given as a result. So the app has helped standardise information that we're giving to women and clearly signpost them to the right healthcare professional at the right time, and empowering them in making that decision with where to access their healthcare.
And it's also massively improved our maternity day units as well, because they're not having to try and answer phones and care for women at the same time. It's taken that you know, heavy responsibility of getting it right all the time in two different areas of answering phones and caring for women. It's alleviated a lot of that pressure for them.
The app is having an incredible impact on services, with women being reassured as around 80% of their queries can be resolved by the triage service. For Kim, it's that which gives her the greatest pride.
I spoke to a woman on the phone who had a baby back in 2020 when the pandemic was on. And she explained how difficult it was to try and find support during those times. And, you know, she was Googling and doing all the things that we know women do. And I explained the app to her and the service that would be provided from the maternity triage line. And she said to me, "Oh, that just sounds amazing. I won't be lonely this time." And that was just, you know, this award is lovely, but actually that was my reward.
Again, the theme of making a difference comes through so clearly from our award winners. And our next one is no different. Emily Edwards is a senior midwifery lecturer at Middlesex University, and she's an incredible standard bearer for greater support for people who are neurodiverse. Emily, who is herself autistic, is the winner of the Excellence in Midwifery for Leadership Award.
So I am not only a midwifery lecturer, but I'm also a neurodiversity advocate. So I spend a lot of my time trying to start conversations about neurodiversity to try and support our students and also midwives and MSWs who are neurodivergent to have better work conditions and to be able to thrive. And I think that all of that happens through kind of breaking down the stigma that surrounds neurodiversity. And as an autistic healthcare professional and lecturer myself, you know, I've had to go through a lot of these hoops and barriers. And I think, you know, it's really good to have these conversations so that people can come forwards and get the support that they need. So that's what I've been working hard to do in lots and lots of different places, whether that be in higher education institutions, in the NHS via things like the PMA network, speaking at conferences, writing papers with other neurodivergent students, and also the RCM module on neurodiversity in the workplace, which was released in March.
As someone who is truly leading the way in this area, I asked her whether she felt that things are beginning to change.
I think that conversations are being had, and I think that there is, I think, you know, the work is always going to be ongoing because, you know, people are starting to recognise the importance of supporting neurodivergent workers in the NHS. But I think, you know, there's still work to be done and there's still conversations to be had.
Someone else who wasn't prepared to wait for change is the winner of the Student Travel Award. Rachel Brackpool is a student at London South Bank University. Rachel's own neurodivergence made it difficult for her to follow traditional lectures, particularly during the pandemic. So she found her own novel way of learning.
I have managed to then help other students with neurodiversity by making revision sources to help them with their own studies, but this also then helped them in practice and then, of course, and then helping the women and birthing people that we care for. I learned very quickly that actually the way I was learning in university was not probably how I was being taught. So but actually by me sitting down, drawing things out, being really visual was a way that I was teaching myself. And I noticed that I was had really good photographic memory and that's how I was learning better. And I just thought, okay, this I'm not the only one that's going to be like this. And the way that lectures are potentially done is not going to work for everyone. Particularly when I started, it was in COVID, it was all online. It was very overwhelming and stressful. So by me sitting down and breaking things down, making posters and making it really visual is a way that has really actually got me through university and the feedback that I've had from other students that I've helped them with their exams. But it's not just midwives, it's nurses, OPDs, you know, and it's I've sold to over 30 countries. So it's not just even a UK basis, you know, to be global and to have that impact is honestly, it's more than I ever thought. I never thought I'd be able to do that.
Rachel is planning to use her award to visit Australia to see how maternity care is delivered there. Just make sure that's a return ticket you're booking there, Rachel. The winner of the Race Matters Unsung Hero Award for midwives or those in higher education, sponsored by BAME Birthing with Colour Online Academy, is University of Leicester lecturer Maxine Chapman. Now, sharp-eared listeners may recall that Maxine featured on our last episode on education, talking about the RCM's Decolonising Midwifery project. Well, the work that Maxine did as part of that project has won her an award. Let's remind ourselves of what Maxine said about the project.
My grandmother, she was part of the Windrush generation, so she came to the UK and practiced as a nurse, enrolled nurse, but that was it. She couldn't go any further than that. That was just, you're an enrolled nurse, you've come to serve in the UK, and yeah, and look at where we are a few generations on, but you're the next generation. But, you know, looking back, you know, those brilliant women that have gone before, stayed in the profession, didn't give up. But yeah, I just feel like there's so much we can do now, the opportunity for the global majority to make real impact and level things up. That's the vision, that it will be the very beginning of a massive change that needs to happen.
And that's a great segue to our last award. The Equity, Diversity and Inclusion Award recognises the work of individuals and teams to build greater equity within maternity services, for staff and for those in their care. The winner of this award had a pretty big day on Friday, as she was also announced as the new Chief Midwifery Officer for England. Ladies and gentlemen, in her first interview since that announcement, here's Kate Brintworth.
We've been shortlisted in the equalities category for our work on supporting the workforce from the world majority who, as we know, don't have a great time all the time in midwifery, and we wanted to put in some really concrete changes that would support them. So we put in a fellowship in London where 30% of the people who attended have been promoted for world majority staff. We've put in an anti-racism framework, and we're supporting our leadership to develop so that it really appreciates cultural inclusion. From the feedback I've heard from those who've attended, it's about being heard and being believed and being listened to and valued, and really someone who's reached out to them and held them and said, you are important, you are worth this, you should have ambitions and you should go for them.
We'll be hearing more from Kate in future episodes as she takes on her new role. Now, there's one award we haven't covered in this episode, and that's the Outstanding Contribution to Midwifery Services International. Never fear, we will be hearing from the winners from Robert Gordon University and Zurich University of Applied Sciences next month, when the June episode will be taking on an international flavour. You can find out more about all of our incredible winners in the next issue of Midwives Magazine, and I hope in future episodes of the podcast too. I hope this episode has inspired you. Don't forget, you can still catch up on all of our previous episodes, available wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, I'm Jo Tanner, and thank you for listening.